Good morning, everyone. Stand up and worship with us this morning. We are so glad that you're here. And let's just lift the name of the Lord up. You guys are good this morning. Hey, you may be seated, but as you're sitting down, shake the hand of the person next to you. That's a fun song.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. We hope you have had a great morning already. Man, it's a good day to be here. We want to just welcome you to Cornerstone. If you're here with us for the first time, or if you have never filled out a card before, on the seat backs in front of you, you find a little communication card. If you'd fill that out for us, we would greatly appreciate it. And you can put those in one of the offering boxes by either door, and we'll get those. And just helps us to stay connected and stay in contact. So we would appreciate if you'd fill that out for us if you're visiting with us. We're in the middle of a series called The Doubt Factor. This is week two. And what we're doing is looking at the questions that we ask. What's the number one questions that little kids ask? Why? Why? You tell them to do it. Why? And don't we do the same thing with God? We say, God, why is there pain? God, why is there suffering? God, why? I don't understand. God, why? And we ask God all the time, why? And so what we're doing this morning, we're looking at a topic that's a little bit tough. Why is the world so messed up? We live in a messed up world, don't we? And so what we want to do is go to Scripture today, understand the world a little bit better from a biblical worldview, and let's look at what we can do as believers to be able to endure this world that we're in. So that's where we're going this morning. We're excited about this series because it really hits on a lot of topics that we face in life. So I'm excited. When you came in, you got a worship guide. Let's look at a few announcements here before we continue on in our service. Just mention a few of these things. Tonight, 6th grade through 12th grade youth, we have a youth worship night where our youth band will play. One of our youth is doing the message. It's really going to be a great time. We got food as well. So just encourage all of our youth to be here tonight for that, 6:30 to 8 here in the sanctuary, in the worship center. So that's tonight. We've got the Halloween bash is coming up downtown. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there are literally thousands of kids that come downtown. And it's an incredible opportunity for us to meet families, to talk with kids, to pass out some information about the church, to build some relationships with this community we're in. So we need some candy. And we don't need like cheap. We need good candy, right? We want to be the church with the good candy. There's nothing fun about fun-sized, okay? We need good candy. So, seriously, we'll take fun-sized. We'll take any. We just need some candy because we go through hundreds of dollars worth of candy down here. So if you could drop some candy by the church this week, we'll be here during the week. You can drop it off. We'd appreciate that. We've got our community meal Wednesday night. The last Wednesday night of every month, we do a community meal. It's a free meal where we invite the people in the community to come join us. It's been great. We've met a lot of great people in our community that way. It's been a ministry opportunity as well. We're doing a soup and salad and dessert. We have a sign-up sheet over at the resource table so you can sign up to help with that and bring something for that. And we have a family night coming up at the rec center that's going to be a lot of fun. So there's some more announcements in here. You can just take a look. If you get home and you think, man, there's something going on this week and I can't remember what it is, please go to our website, mycornerstone.org. It's got news, it's got events, it's got everything going on so you can kind of keep up to date. You can sign up for email newsletter that actually emails you when new stuff is posted on the website. You can do that. We've got an app for phones that you can download and keep track of. Lots of different ways. And to stay connected on, I brought this up here so I wouldn't forget it. I forgot it first service. Upward Basketball, Christian Basketball League that Cliffview sponsors, is starting up. Their first tryouts were yesterday. There's one Tuesday, one next Saturday, and one the following Thursday. But the brochures with all the information are at the resource table. And I know Cornerstone has always had a tremendous number of kids playing this league, so, and a lot of coaches as well. So the information is here for that. So lots of good stuff going on, lots of ways to get involved with what God is doing here, not only at Cornerstone, but in our community. And we just want to celebrate that fact this morning. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning that we can come into this place, we can worship you, we can lift up your name. And even though we live in a crazy, messed up world, Lord, we have faith because we know you as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, give us strength, give us peace. Help us this morning as we tackle a tough topic. Just reveal your truth to us so that we may leave here transformed. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It's in the name of Jesus we all pray. Amen.
Like Pastor Mike was saying, we're talking about, you know, what a messed up world we live in, and we may not have all the answers. But, you know, what's so awesome is in the back of the Bible in Revelation, man, it says that we win. You know, and what that means is God's coming back for us someday. And no matter what we're going through now, the Bible promises that God's with us. And sometimes that's hard to see. And that's part of the reasons why we worship, is we worship God because of what he's going to do, what he did, and what he's doing, and what he's going to do for us. And sometimes it's hard to worship through our pain. But when we do that, our joy is in God, right? And it's not in the things. And let's just, this morning, let's just stand up and let's just worship God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind.
I feel love, I feel safe, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel a warmth within me, I can't describe it, but I believe. I feel peace, I feel light, I see my stains turn pure white. I feel a burden lift from me as I raise my hands up and I see.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love this morning. No matter where we are, where we've been, you love us for who we are. And you say, come to me and I'll get rid of the stuff. And dear God, I just pray this morning as Pastor Mike gets up and talks about why. Why is the world so messed up, dear God? May you just speak to us, dear Lord. And I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you this morning, may they take those steps towards you, dear God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Why does God allow suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Does my life make a difference? Does God even have a purpose for me?
Why does everyone else look so happy? Does God really care about me?
Why me?
Does anybody love me?
Will I go to heaven?
Why can't I trust anyone?
Why now?
When will this pain end?
Are you even listening?
Why can't I do anything
right? Do you even care?
Does anyone miss me when I'm gone?
I believe. Help my unbelief.
So again, want to welcome you to Cornerstone this morning. Man, we've already had a great morning. It's good to see a good turnout here for our second service as well this morning. We always encourage people to follow along with our message. So we do print our sermon outlines on the bulletins, and we encourage you to take notes, take those with you. If you're more technology literate and you've got a smartphone or an iPad with you, you can track along as well on our church app or on YouVersion, the Bible app. Our sermon notes are in there as well, and you can even email them to yourself. So we really, though, want to drive you guys back to the Bible each week. So you can learn, you can go back and read and investigate for yourself each week and get you in the Word. And that's one of my goals each and every week, is not just that you come and listen to me talk, but that you take what you've learned here and then research it further. And so go back to Scripture and read the passages we talk about and study them more. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're in the second week of this series called The Doubt Factor. Now, last week we talked about just what it means to doubt God and how we doubt God and kind of how God can meet us at our point of doubt. And in Mark 9, where the Father says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And how Jesus can handle our doubt. And this week, though, we're tackling kind of a much more tougher question. Why is the world so messed up? If you look on the news, and I mean, it can be so discouraging week in and week out to look at the news and to read story after story of really just pure evil. And whether it's school shootings or, you know, this week there was a teacher that was murdered or I mean, just every week there's something going on. I read this week, you look and something catches your eye every week on the news that you just wish you didn't even see. Even I read this week, since 1973, which was the year I was born, there have been 55 million abortions. 55 million. That's mind-boggling, that number. And when we look at that and when we see the pain in this world, we see the suffering, we see things like 9/11 that stand out in our memory and the terrorist attacks. We see natural calamities and hurricanes and tornadoes and typhoons and tsunamis and earthquakes. And we see this world we live in. It's easy to step back and say, man, is there any hope? This is crazy what we're experiencing. This is crazy, the wars and the evil and everything we see. There is no doubt that we live in a messed up world. Do you agree with me? And so how do we handle that? How do we deal with that? Do we look at God and say, why? I said earlier in our announcements, little kids, from the time they're little, they start saying, why? I mean, you tell them to do anything, you give them any type of command, the first question you typically get back is why? And why? And you start explaining, well, why do I have to do that? And we do the same thing with God. We do the same thing with God, where God gives us his commands. He gives us his word. We read it and we say, why? Why, God? And what in effect, what we start doing is we start doubting God and we start blaming God and we start saying, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why is there so much sorrow? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much suffering? Why do little children die? Lord, why do bad things happen to good people? Why don't I always feel God? Lord, why should I even trust the Bible? And that's the type of questions we find ourselves getting drawn into when we look at this crazy world we live in. And so what we're going to be doing over this series is taking those questions one by one and digging a little deeper and learning about them. But today is kind of the bigger topic. Today is we're talking about this crazy, messed up world we're living in. And what I want to do is lay out a theological foundation for the rest of the series to give us something to kind of build off of. Because each week as we go through this and we tackle a little more in depth these different questions of doubt that kind of creep in our mind, we need to have a theological foundation that helps explain this crazy, messed up world we live in. And so this is something that for us, it's not just for us to understand, right? I mean, we need to understand this, but the reason we're talking about this is so you can also explain it to others. And because you encounter people all the time that are going through pain, that are going through suffering, that are going through crazy times in their life, and they look to you and they say, I don't understand, why is this happening to me? And how do you answer? How do you answer a person that's in pain, answer someone that's struggling? How do you answer somebody that looks at this world and say, it doesn't make sense? And so today, I want you to listen not only for yourself, but I want you to listen so you can help others. And you can help others see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And back last year, we did a series on the gospel. And during that series, I talked a little bit about the worldview that we have. And the worldview is simply how we view the world around us. And what happens is each person, we look at the world in different ways. We bring our own kind of presuppositions, our beliefs. We look at the world kind of through our lens, so to speak, that we look at the world. We kind of have our own beliefs and that kind of influence what we think about the events that happen around us. And I gave you four questions last year that I want to share with you again that help define our worldview. These four questions kind of help us explain what's going on in the world around us. These questions are, how did it all begin? That's a question that really defines how you look at this world around you. How did it all begin? The second question is, what went wrong? Because something obviously has gone wrong when you look at this world around us. We live in this messed up world. The third question is there any hope? In other words, is this all that there is to life? Or is there any hope? The fourth question is, what will the future hold? And so when you take these four questions together, they help define our worldview. And so an atheist is going to look at the world very differently from a believer. A skeptic or a cynic is going to look at these questions very differently from a believer. And so what we have to do this morning is understand how we look at the world around us. It does define our worldview. Now, unashamedly, I'm going to go back to the Bible to help describe this world we live in. I'm not going to try to do it from my own opinion. I'm not going to try to do it. And that is the worldview. I want to look at our world from a biblical worldview. What is it? How do we explain this craziness we see around us? How do we deal with it? And I think the Bible has the answers we are looking for. I think one of the reasons so many young people leave the church and leave the faith, so to speak, when they graduate high school and college, and is that they don't have a biblical worldview. What we've allowed to happen is our media, our society, our culture, our schools even, everything has kind of bombarded kids with a worldview that has removed God from the picture. And so the answer to their deepest life questions, they're finding in places other than the Bible. And so when they get hit hard with things that cause them to doubt or struggles in life, they don't have the foundation to understand it, to describe it, or to deal with it. And so this morning is really, if you're here and you're a young person, this message is for you too, because I want you to understand this world we live in. Because I don't think it's not getting any better, right? I mean, there's more temptation, there's more struggle. I mean, we've got to understand here, this is what we're living in. I like how C.S. Lewis describes this this struggle that we have and that people have. This is what he wrote. He said, if God were good, he would wish to make his creatures happy. And if God were almighty, he would be able to do what he wished. But his creatures are not happy. And therefore, God lacks either goodness or power or both. And so, therefore, the dilemma becomes, how can God be loving and sovereign while the world is hurting? And he's describing this doubt. He's describing this pain. He's describing this this confusion that exists in our world. And so, really, when we go to, you know, we go through life, we go through this struggle, I want to help give you a foundation to stand on this morning. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Romans chapter 5, and that's where we're going to be this morning. The first point I want to make this morning is simply that God's story helps me make sense of our messed up world. His story is what gives me an overview, gives me a framework to build upon, and it helps me make sense of this crazy, messed up world we live in. The cross of Jesus is the ultimate expression of God sharing in our pain and overcoming it. So let's look at Romans 5. We look at the story here, and we get a kind of a framework. Romans is an incredible theological book. It describes our standing before God. Romans 3, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It describes God's love for us. Romans 5, 8, that God love, even in the midst of our sin, that Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 6, we see the promise. Romans 10, you go through Romans, you see the plan of salvation laid out for us. But I want to zero in on this one little section in Romans chapter 5 that explains the moment that everything changed in our world. Romans 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And this is important that we understand this. Up until that point, no sin, no pain, no suffering, no death. But when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who is yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. And so we see this contrast already explained between Adam's sin and God's gift. And what I want you to realize this morning is that in order to understand this crazy, messed up world, we need to understand God's story. The story that's told from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, from the beginning to the end. And what we see the story that has the points of creation, that God created this world to be good and perfect. And he stepped back and looked at it and said, it is very good. Not just good, he said, it is very good. But then we see the fall happen, where Adam and Eve chose sin. They chose disobedience. They chose rebellion over faith. And so what happens is, just as we read, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and it spread. It spread to each and every one of us. And we are born into a sin nature, where you don't have to teach a child how to lie or to steal or to cheat. They just know how. We have to teach them how to live right. We have to teach them how to love and teach them. I mean, and that's where we deal with this sin nature. And so we have the creation, we have the fall, and then we see the Bible build up to the rescue, where Jesus shows up. And he enters into our world. He lives the perfect life. He goes through suffering. He goes through pain. He goes through humiliation. He goes through everything we've experienced. And yet he takes it to the cross. And he dies in our place. And he overcomes death, overcomes sin. And we see him rescue us and pull us out of this mess we're in. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible continues on to Revelation and talks about the restoration of the way things will be one day. That one day God will restore this world to the way he originally intended. So it doesn't take much digging in the Bible. It doesn't take much digging around our world to see the effects of sin in this world we live in. What we experience, we tend to blame God for everything. We look at the situations in life and say, God, why did you do this? God, why did you allow this to happen? And we start blaming God for the effects of our own sin and disobedience. And it's hard sometimes to look inwardly at our own deceitfulness and evilness and see that that's what we hide when we come to church. We don't want anybody else to see our struggle with doubt, our struggle with prideful thoughts, our struggle with sin in our life. We try to sweep everything under the rug and hide like nothing's happened. But I want you to understand there is hope. Yes, sin entered the world. Yes, God cursed the ground and they had to leave Eden and paradise was closed. And because of that, we live in this evil world. And even I'll take you back to Genesis 3. This is where it all goes back to. It says the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And what I want you to see and understand is sin changed everything. From that point forward, everything was broken. That this was not the way God intended it. But yet, in order for there to be love, there had to be a choice. I want you to think about that for a minute. And sometimes we question, God, why did God even allow Adam and Eve the choice to take of that fruit and eat? Have you thought about that before? And let me kind of take it one step further here. If he did not give them a choice, if they were just created to worship God and not have a choice, is that truly love that they are expressing to God? It's not love when you don't have a choice. It's just created as almost like a robot where without feelings or without thought or without emotions. But what we see is love can only exist when there's a choice. And we see Adam and Eve make the wrong choice. And we see them introduce evil. Now, there's really two types of evil in our world. There's moral evil, and that's the things that we cause because of our own immorality, our own pain, our own suffering, our own selfishness, our arrogance, our uncaring, our hatefulness, our abusiveness. All those, that's the evil that we bring into this world because of our own action. And so we tend to blame a lot of those things on God. But there's also natural evil, and that's where we get into the natural disasters that happen in our world. And sometimes we have a tough time understanding why that happens. I found a video this week, and I thought it did a good job of explaining how everything is unraveled in this world we live in. So let's watch this video.
When you look at the whole story of human history and even from the narratives of the scriptures, you see that the suffering that we see in the world is precisely what he said would be without him.
You know, sometimes the problem of suffering is called the problem of pain. I think that helps us to understand it, because pain is actually a good thing. It's a good thing in the sense that it's telling us when there is something wrong.
In reality, as if we're honest, the suffering in this world and the things that we see, they're not caused by God, they're caused by us. God is not trafficking children in the sex trade. People are. And God is not sexually abusing women. People are. And God is not selling drugs on the corners in downtown Atlanta where I live. People are.
And so the problem of suffering or pain is a reflection of the fact that we have built into our nature ways in which we correct ourselves and draw back from situations that do us harm.
But it's not hopeless, because the other side of that is Jesus saying that, you know, though this suffering is here now and is the temporary reality in which we exist, I came because there's a future hope, a future reality, a better world that's not only as good as the one that was supposed to be.
Suffering is an inevitable part of being in a real universe where we have freedom to be good or ill. So human evil is permitted by God because that's the kind of a universe that he's placed us in.
The things that we see now are subsequently tied to that very beginning unraveling. It's like a sweater in the first people. They tugged at the thread. It didn't just unravel their connection to the God who created everything, but it actually began to unravel the very fabric of the world that he created. And so natural disasters and hurricanes and earthquakes and terminal diseases, these are all things that were never intended. But when the thread was pulled and everything else began to unravel, those things began to unravel in the world as well.
So what we learn when we see that video is that we live in a world that is messed up. But it does have an explanation that goes all the way back to Genesis, when that thread was pulled and everything started unraveling. And so we live in a world that is broken spiritually. We're broken. We're broken spiritually. We're broken physically. We're broken socially. We're broken emotionally. We're broken morally. All these different ways, the world is distorted and broken, and we're dealing with those effects. So spiritually, we're disconnected from God. And we in our sin, we are separated from him. Physically, we have suffering. We have disease. Socially, we have broken relationships, broken marriages. We have a mess socially. Emotionally, we have depression. We have people who are going through life struggling emotionally. We have moral issues. We're broken morally when people just do evil things that are hard to understand and hard to even explain. But did you catch in that video? Did you notice he said, but this is a temporary world we live in. And that's where we find our hope, because it's not going to be this way forever. Sometime Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set things right. He's going to make things right. And that brings us to the second point this morning, is that God's promise helps me endure this messed up world. If we take away God's promise of salvation and peace and restoration, there is not hope. Then it just becomes survival of the fittest, right? I mean, you take God out of the picture, then who's to say what's right or wrong? You take God out of the picture, then why can't I do anything that I can to survive? Why can't I take advantage of every other person on this world? Because it's all about me. But when you insert God into the picture, we insert Jesus into the picture, we start gaining a better perspective of why we're here. We're not here for us. We're here to bring glory to God. We're here to be part of his story in his plan. And then he uses us to continue drawing people to himself. And so what we understand, what we see, is that God's promise helps me endure this messed up world. Romans 5, let's keep going in verse 15. It says, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I love that we will live in triumph, not just get by. No, we're going to triumph over death and over sin because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That is our hope. That is our faith. That is his promise. And that is what we can stand firm in. We don't have to go through life wondering how the story's going to end. We already know how the story's going to end. This world is temporary, and Jesus is putting it back together to the way he intended. That's good news. That's the gospel, right? That Jesus came to save us, to set us free, and to use us now to proclaim this gospel to others, to go and make disciples, right, of all nations, to teach them to obey everything that he's commanded us, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and realize that it's his power that's working through us. This world is messed up, but there is hope because there is redemption, there is grace, and there is God's promise. But we get caught up sometimes in this temporary pain that we're in, and we're unable to step back and see the cause of it, which is the fall, which is sin, and we're unable to see that how God is using our pain and our suffering to develop our faith through it. Joni Erickson Tada, who many of you have heard of, she was injured in a diving accident and became a quadriplegic. And she's a great woman of God, written a number of books. And this is a quote I found from her this week. She says, God does not give advice. He does not give reasons or answers. He gives one better. He gives himself. God wrote a book on suffering, and it's called Jesus. This is why God is good. He is good because he gives himself. And so when we're going through suffering, we can step out of the situation. We can look at it and say, Jesus understands. God understands our pain. Why? Because was Jesus, did he go through pain in life? Did he go through suffering? Did he go through humiliation? Did he go through death? So he went through all those things in life that we look at. He understands our pain. God understands what we're going through when we lose something of great significance in our life, because he gave up his very son so that we could have life. And so this morning, I'm just wanting to give you perspective. Yes, that God's promise brings us hope. It's this overarching story of the Bible, that this world is hurting, that it's not the way God intended. In fact, in Romans 8, I'll flip over there. Romans 8, it talks about creation. All creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And one translation, all creation is groaning. And we get this picture of pain that this world is in. Against its will, all creation was subjected to this curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. And so what we see right there is that one day this world will change. There will be a new heavens. There will be a new earth. When Jesus comes back and establishes his kingdom, it is going to be very different. And that promise gives us hope. That promise motivates us. And no matter how crazy things get, we understand that God is working behind the scenes for good. You keep going just a few verses later, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We may not understand it. We may not like it. We may not even see how God is using it. But when we step back, what you see is a deeper level of faith and obedience. What you see is God can use our pain. He can use our suffering. He can use the crazy things we experience in life. He can use that to develop our faith. And he can turn it and use it for good. And he is using, and he's behind the scenes in all of this world, helping us pulling everything back together to the way it was intended. And that's his promise to us. Now, we've got a couple responses ways we can respond to this crazy world. One way we can respond to this crazy world is saying, you know, the world, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Let's close the doors. Let's lock the doors. Let's keep the craziness out, and let's just focus on the people in here. You know, and let's have our holy huddle, and let's just, you know, block the world out. We don't want to be contaminated. We took the kids on a little trip this week, and we were able to do this big laser tag thing, and it was it was in this like warehouse, and you had laser tag, and there were zombies. It was a zombie apocalypse, okay? And so there were people in there. Like, it's nice having big kids because they don't get too scared now. I was a little more scared than they were. These people are hiding all through this warehouse and jumping out at you and chasing you. And the only way you can get them to stop chasing them is shoot them in the head, okay? And it was fun. But, you know, what you see is that in order to survive, you got to keep the zombies out. Okay. You gotta escape. And I feel like that's a picture of the church sometimes. We just see the world and it's crazy and we're running as hard as we can go the other way and say, we don't want to be infected. Don't get us. We like things the way they are. And so we get in this little tight huddle. Okay. That's not a picture of how we engage this world. Right? I mean, that's not the way that God intended. No, we're to get messy. We're to wade into this crazy, messed up world. And it may get ugly sometimes. You will be hurt sometimes by people you are even trying to help, right? You will experience emotions and you'll see the ugliness of sin. But what happens when we do that? We get to share that there's hope. That you're not going to stay. This is temporary. This pain, this suffering. This is not where we're going to stay. There's hope. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we can be set free. We are given new life, and it should give us an urgency to share the gospel. I mean, when we look at this crazy, messed up world, I love what he said in the video, pain is good. And I'm thinking, what? Right? Why is pain good? Because it allows us to see that something is wrong. And when we live in this messed up world, and we look out and we see pain, we see suffering, we see problems, what it does, it gives us a pathway to share. There's a solution. There's something wrong, and there's a solution. And his name is Jesus. And that's the only way that things are going to be made right in this world is through Jesus Christ and the hope we have in him. What I want to do this morning, as we kind of start wrapping things up here, I want to contrast the first three chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, with the last three chapters of the Bible in Revelation. Because what we see the problem, we see the solution. We see what happened, we see what Jesus did here. And let me just kind of, and these aren't going to be on the screen, so if you want to write these down and look at them later, you can. But here's what I want to do. Genesis 1:1 says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Revelation 21:1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And so we see that it's being recreated. Genesis 2:16 says, I will greatly increase your sorrows. Revelation 21:4 says, there will be no more sorrows. Genesis 3:16 says, in your pain you will bear children. Revelation 21:4 says, there will be no more pain. Genesis 2:17 says, when you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. Revelation 21:4 says, there will be no more death. Genesis 3:1 says, Satan appears as a deceiver to mankind. Revelation 20:10 says Satan disappears forever. Genesis 3:13, we read of the triumph of Satan here, the initial triumph of Satan. But Revelation 22:3, we read of the ultimate triumph of the Lamb of God. Genesis 3:17 said, cursed is the ground for your sake. Revelation 22:3 says, there will be no more curse. Genesis 3:23, the paradise is lost. In Revelation 21:25, the paradise is regained. Genesis 3:24, the access to the tree of life is closed, but in Revelation 22:14, we see the access to the tree of life is reinstated. Genesis 3:24, we see that Adam and Eve were driven from God's presence, but in Revelation 22:4, we read that we will see his face. Man, that's good stuff. When we realize that, we realize what God is doing in this world, and he's bringing it back together. It gives us urgency. It gives us hope. It gives us peace. No matter what's going on in our circumstances in life, we can stand firm because we are standing on God's promises. And this is so important. I said earlier we were broken spiritually and physically and socially, emotionally and morally, right? When we look at it, we were restored spiritually. We will be forever with God in a perfect relationship with him. We're going to be restored physically. There's going to be no more sickness, aging, or death. We're going to be restored socially. You're going to be in a perfect relationship in heaven. We're going to be restored emotionally. We're going to have everlasting joy and peace and purpose as we worship God. We're going to be restored morally. And so all people groups, every tongue and tribe and nation will be joined together in perfect harmony. There's going to be no prejudice, no more wars. We're all going to be one in Christ. And so when we realize this, I hope you're getting a picture here. Yes, we live in a crazy, messed up world. We can trace it all the way back to Genesis, but there is hope because we have a future. And Jesus is the door that leads us to freedom. He leads us to rescue from all that has gone terribly wrong in this world. He provides forgiveness of our sin. He rescues us. He cleans us up and he uses us to further advance his kingdom. I love that. I love that picture of him taking us and redeeming us and buying us by the blood of Jesus. We are made clean and we are given a new lease on life. We're given a new heart, a new purpose. And so this morning, I just want to challenge you to look inwardly a little bit. It's so encouraging to me. I love what Tim Keller says. He said, the Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me. Yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. And so when we realize that Jesus died, he knew the sin. He knew the evilness. He knew he knew our hearts. But yet he chose to die for us anyway. Isaiah 53, written over 600 years before Christ, we see this picture of Christ. He was despised. He was rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. We have healing. We have forgiveness. We have peace with God. We have a new life through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And I really believe the reason that we're still here in the midst of this crazy, messed up world is that God hadn't given up on us yet. We're here because there's still a chance to respond. There's still a chance for us to turn from our wicked ways, to acknowledge him, to make him the Lord and the Savior of our life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. And the Lord has been patient with many of us in our past. We can see how he's been patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And you might be here this morning, and I just want to tell you, God has been patient with you. He's been patient with your doubt. He's been patient with your sin that you've gone through in life. But this morning, you have this opportunity to turn your life around, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you don't know how many opportunities we have. Jesus can come back at any time. We don't know when he's coming back. We don't know when we're going to leave this earth. But right now is the time you have where you can respond to his incredible gift that he has offered. So I'm going to ask that you all bow your heads right now. Praise team's going to come back up. But just as you bow your heads, let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your promise. Your promise of new life in Christ. Your promise that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be set free. We are so thankful, Lord, that we are here to do your will on earth. Lord, even in the midst of our doubt, even in the midst of this crazy, messed up world, you have placed us here to be the hope and the light of the world. So, Lord, I pray we will gladly take your message. We will gladly take this good news, this gospel message to those who are hurting and those who are far from God. Lord, I also pray for those here this morning that have been running, who have just been running and maybe they're struggling with doubt. They don't understand and they really have been holding on to the sin in their life and unwilling to let it go. I pray that this morning they could just come to the cross, that they could lay their burdens down. They could admit that they have a need for a Savior, that they see the pain in their life and they realize that something's wrong. That I need Jesus in my life. And this morning, I pray that they would just be willing to turn their life over to you, to put their faith and their trust in Jesus alone for salvation. When Jesus came to this world, he did suffer and die a terrible death. But he did it to take upon our sin, to take our punishment upon himself. that he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, so that through what Jesus did on the cross, we could be made right before a holy and a righteous God. We could stand before God blameless, with nothing to be accused of, because Jesus bore our sin and our shame. So, Lord, when we admit our need to you, we cry out to you to save us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to give us a new heart, a new life. Your promise tells us that not only you hear us, but you will save us. When we confess with our mouth, as Romans 10:9 says, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's our promise this morning. So as every head is bowed here this morning in this place, I just want to extend that invitation to you. If you've been running from God, if you've turned your back on him, if you've not acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior, this morning's your chance. Would you say, Mike, I want Jesus to save me this morning. Would you just slip up your hand right where you are this morning? Anybody in this place this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us hope. We thank you for the word that challenges us. May we continue to follow after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us in our... We believe, but help our unbelief. Help us even when we struggle. We know you will meet us at the very point of our doubt. And so this morning, as we worship you, as we lift up your name, we just want to praise you for who you are and for what you've done. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. All God's people said, amen. This morning, as we close out, I want to invite you. And if God spoke to your heart this morning, maybe there's pain or there's suffering you're going through in life. Maybe you just need to come to the cross and lay it down this morning. Maybe you just need to understand that God is working through that pain, that God can use that for good, even when we don't see it. Maybe you need to come to the cross and say, Mike, I still don't understand. I want you to pray with me. I just need help. Whatever your need, we're going to be over to the side. We're willing to pray with you, meet with you. But will we all stand and sing as we close out this morning?
Every part of our prayer.
guys have a good week. See you next Sunday. Thanks for being here.